I'm very happy now to welcome Melinda Joy Patterson. She's executive director of the Food Bank of Eastern New Mexico. Christopher Willett joins us. He's the owner of the salon When the Sun Reaches My Sister, and Desiree Lagman, who is the salon director there. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. Now, it is, seems like a kind of strange combination that we've got the director of a food bank and the director of a hair salon. How did you two start working together? Tell us about your project.
Well, let's see. I really like to get to know everybody that comes in the salon. Obviously, as the owner, there is a certain responsibility, I think, in engaging with people and letting them know that I appreciate them coming in and having that personal touch. I liken it to when you go to a fine restaurant and the chef comes out, how's your dinner? You know, obviously mm-hmm. the chef isn't serving every table, but it's nice to check in. And I had the opportunity to meet Melinda after seeing her face in the salon for a while, and we sat down and started talking. I asked her, so, who are you? And she was explaining her work with a food bank, and we got into, or rather I got into, as I often do, a philosophic rambling about what is provocative to be a participant in a nonprofit. And most specifically, we were talking about the imagery associated with the food drives that happen a lot at grocery stores. So you have a bag of groceries and you can actually see what you're buying for $10. And for myself as a visual person, that's a great prompt. And how that works and how food donations fluctuate throughout the year. And Melinda was explaining to me about something called the Backpack Project, which is something that I had never heard of before.
What's that?
The Backpack Project is, technical term is Weekend Food for Kids, which means that there are children, as bad as we don't want to think that this is true, there are children in the schools who are in danger of being in hunger over the weekend. Horrifying thought. But there's something that we can do, and there are food banks all around New Mexico who do this. They work with the schools in their area. The schools identify those children who are in danger of being in hunger, and they're generally kids who are already receiving free and reduced lunches from the school, so they're easily identified. The food bank never knows the names. We only know the numbers of children that we're serving. The backpacks are built at the food bank, in our case. Some food banks deliver the total product, and the schools build the bags. But we use volunteers largely to build them, and they have very particular things put inside, and we deliver them to the schools each week.
And so you, Christopher, decided one day that you would like to participate in this and get your clients to participate.
I did. And I do. We do. We do, I think, an amazing job. We invite our clients every time they come in to bring items for the food bank, specifically for the Backpack Project, which are single-serving items that don't need to be cooked, oftentimes don't need utensils. And it was my understanding, with talking to Melinda about the larger donations, a lot of the things that the food bank receives as donations are things that have passed expiration date. And although for us, they may not be the kinds of things we would normally eat, like, say, Vienna sausage, potato chips, stuff like that, it's better than going hungry, clearly. And we really focus on trying to get higher quality foods in. So there's organic shelf-stable milk. We get tons of that. Chef Boyardee makes single serving. Anyway, to get back to the point, I wanted to do something that was consistent and a long-term, almost like a permanent continuous fundraiser, or rather goods raiser. And I think that, and I might be misspeaking because I don't have the math in front of me, but in 2013, I believe we raised right at 5,000 pounds of food.
I don't have the numbers in front of me either, but I bet that's right.
I think that's about right, because mm-hmm. every pickup is between 400 and 700 pounds of food, and it's generally a pickup once a month, isn't it?
It's whenever you guys get tired of that pile of food, and Desiree calls and says, when are you going to be in town? Can we load you up? And
yeah.
then I load up my Santa's sleigh.
And so this is all just from clients of the salon?
Mm-hmm. Bringing food in. And it's so amazing. One of our clients actually, this is also, I think, a part of being a business owner in a community and hopefully being involved in the community, that there are lasting effects outside of the salon. One of my clients who was sitting in my chair was explaining her experience talking to her husband about going to the grocery store before she came in for hair service and how that stayed with her and how it felt so powerful to be a part of something that she knew was going to help, even in a small way, which, let's face it, small ways add up. And I feel that it's a responsibility. I mean, we have so much, and it takes really nothing at all to glean something from your pantry or pick up an extra something at the store. One of our clients last year brought in 1,500 toothbrushes.
Good
and
heavens.
Tubes of toothpaste and dental floss.
Was this person perchance a dentist?
Wife of, yes.
Okay.
But that's pretty spectacular. You know, the level of involvement mm-hmm. has been really heartwarming, and it continues to flourish. And that's something that it's so easy to do when you have the connections or when you have something set up. I know that, again, as a business owner, when I'm approached to participate, like, oh, can you do a gift certificate or can you do something like that? It's like, oh, what's my level of involvement and how much is this really going to help? And so to find something as streamlined and as easy as this has really been wonderful. And I have to thank Melinda so much for being our conduit.
We're the grateful ones because we... the profile of the program is raised because it's out in front of everybody in Christopher's salon. And it's not just our food bank that does this. So anybody that comes in has the opportunity to learn about what food banks are doing to help needy children and then participate in a very real, visible way. I've been in the salon when other clients have come in and they're like, what is all that food about? You know, and there's your opportunity to tell them about it.
Now, this is theoretically a model that any business that has clients could follow.
Absolutely.
And the need is ongoing. So for Christopher and Brian and Debbie to do this ongoing with every one of their clients, we get to watch people of all walks of life come in with something to give. There's always something in your cabinet that you're too picky to eat. And that's an amazing thing about being an American. Being in the same place within 50 miles of somebody who has a child that's in danger of going hungry is not something that any of us can handle. And I watch Christopher and all the employees at When the Sun Reaches My Sister, as well as the employees with Lantern on the Water, work all day, every day to support those in need. Whether it's animals, we work with cancer patients. But when it came to starving children, it had to be an every single day thing.
Let's talk for a moment. We're talking about, among other things, the Food Bank of Eastern New Mexico. But let's talk about that organization. First of all, what do we mean by Eastern New Mexico? Where are you located?
We're located in Clovis, which is about 3.5 hours southeast of here.
And what is the food picture like there?
The area that we serve is very rural. Clovis is the biggest town, and we serve 5 counties from that base in Clovis. So we serve Guadalupe, Debaca, Curry, Roosevelt, and Quay. So we go as far north as Naravisa, far west as Vaughan, and as far south as Elida. So there's a lot of small ranching, farming communities that have been suffering greatly from the drought that's not really over yet. And so the need increases. And we talked about figures not being necessarily a clear picture. But I have to tell you that at the end of the school year in May last year, we were serving 505 children every week. So that's over 2,000 backpacks. And I projected a 15% increase in that. And we are right now, as we start into the spring semester, we're at 588 kids, which is over that 15% mark. So it's 588 kids every week, nearly 600 backpacks every week. And I know that, for example, the food bank in Albuquerque does over 2,000 backpacks every week. So the need is ever, ever growing.
Now, how does that interact with the whole food stamp program? Are people on food stamps also?
In some cases, certainly. As we were saying, the children are generally those who are receiving free lunches or reduced lunches. They're coming from families who are probably also receiving USDA surplus food in some form or another monthly, and perhaps food stamps as well.
It's so ironic because we just had a show about obesity, and so you have starvation or near starvation, hunger and obesity side by side in the U.S. It's like we're a third world country.
Yeah. And unfortunately, in providing food for those in need, we can actually contribute to the obesity problem because of the unhealthiness of a lot of that food that gets distributed. Thankfully, people like Christopher are interested in helping us to give out the healthiest product we can in the backpacks, which is not perfect by any means. We use anything that's donated to the food bank that is viable for the backpacks, we'll use it. If it's single serve, if it's ready to eat, and if it's shelf stable. But we try really hard to limit the amount of sugar content, starchiness, you know. But it's difficult. That's a challenge all
the
time.
I'm trying to imagine what would be an example of something that's single-serve, ready-to-eat, shelf-stable.
Well, there's cereals that are single-serve, granola bars. There's small tuna fish packets that come with crackers. Anything that a kid can open themselves, eat themselves with no fire for preparation. Something simple for them. We have people that go down the snack aisle, both at our regular grocery stores and stores like Whole Foods. Everything to fill a child's belly helps. And so we're not picky about what we get. It's just single serving is the best thing for them, something they can open with their little fingers, the little yogurts, the Jell-Os, granola bars, snack packs, all of those are really...
What about like a jar of olives, something like that? Is that too much?
No, I hadn't even thought about that. So
I'm thinking about what's always in my cabinet.
Right, right. Me too. But things that are like raisins can't get healthier than that.
Right.
They come in single-serve little boxes. We actually buy those. If we're not getting enough donated in the fruit category, we will buy single-serve boxes of raisins.
Is it possible to have fresh fruits like apples, or those don't hold up so well?
That is tough, because the produce that we get donated to us, we have to get it out really quickly to anyone who can use it so before it goes ahead and becomes non-viable. So putting it in the backpacks is risky. Additionally, we deliver them on a Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They give them out on Friday. So I would hate to take them something fresh on Monday and it not any longer be good by Friday. Some of the schools we serve are in the outer areas of our serving area, and so we deliver to them once a month, and we deliver a whole month's worth of backpacks. So for sure we're not going to put something in there that's in danger.
Yes, it's hard when you have fresh produce. I think that our opportunity that we really have raised the bar with the things I think that our clients and also we've invited our clients to bring in because, like you were saying, raisins, there are organic fruit cups, there are nut packages, there are ready-made pasta things that I think are nutritious and also a higher quality kind of food. And, you know, it's fun because clients who bring the food in, when they're thinking about kids, they also have a great sense of play. I don't think I've seen so many adults with big smiles on their faces with little boxes of animal crackers in my life. So it's really sweet. And I think that there's an opportunity, you know, to educate, obviously, people about the quality of the food that the food banks get and how much room there is for improvement with that. With the idea of fresh produce, I don't know, maybe that's something in the future that could really be developed.
Perhaps it could. We're limited by the funding that we have as in terms of what we're able to do. And I'll just tell you that the load of food that I pick up at Christopher's can make the difference for us.
Between not making it through the week. Yeah.
It can. The backpack program, out of all the programs we run, is the most expensive. Because if we have to buy that food, each backpack would cost between $3 and $4 a piece. And I'm really proud that we have honed it down to that. But that's if we had to buy 2 cans of Vienna sausage, 2 single-serve milks, 2 single-serve fruits, 2 single-serve cereals, and 3 snacks, single-serve. It would be between $3 and $4.
And so these tons of food that you deliver every year make a huge difference. Now, have you reached out to other client-type organizations like his salon to try to get other people to do that? I mean, this seems like it could be a model. It seems like it could be a paradigm.
I think it should be a model.
Yeah.
We actually have a client who's a physician and was so inspired that she started doing the same thing in her office here in Santa Fe. And, specifically inspired because she's an OBGYN and she also has kids of her own, so she sees directly the need for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you're helping us do that today.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, out in radio land, if you are interested in getting involved in doing something like this and they can contact you directly and... There's also probably other food organizations. I mean, in Santa Fe, we have a wonderful the Food Depot and so on. We're having you on in Eastern New Mexico because we've talked to Christopher before. But also, I mean, Eastern New Mexico doesn't have that kind of Santa Fe funding.
Right. We don't. We are in constant, in perpetual fundraising mode, donation mode, every single day. But I'm glad you mentioned the other food banks because we all work together. We're in an association together, the Food Depot here in Santa Fe, Roadrunner in Albuquerque. There's a food bank in Gallup, one in Farmington, and one in Las Cruces. We're all in association together, the New Mexico Association of Food Banks. And so anywhere you live that you're hearing this radio program, you can become involved with your local food bank. And we do all do similar things with the backpacks.
That said, if somebody wants to contact you, how should they do it?
They should call 575-763-6130. They can also go to our website. It is Fabenum, FBENM.org. We also have a Facebook page.
FBENM, which is Food Bank Eastern New Mexico.
Yes, ma'am.
.org.
Okay. Right. Right. We have a Facebook page, and we're always happy to receive phone calls, communications, answer questions. We love it. It's our life's blood.
Stepping back to look at the bigger picture and imagining a world in which, or a state, or a part of Eastern New Mexico where we don't have hunger in the first place, what would that look like? How could that be achieved in your view?
Not to be negative, I'm not sure that's possible. Because there is such need, and there are, where there's food need, there's utility need, there's rent need, there's clothing need. There's all of it. I don't ever tell people that I'm looking to end hunger. We just want to make it look better. We want to help every kid we can help. We want to help every family we can help. I'm sorry that I'm not more optimistic than that. But hunger, this is always going to be with us, I think. Always.
I think that you're right about that. I think that it's astonishing to consider that we live in a culture which is totally whitewashed over the fact that many, many people have to make decisions every day whether or not they're going to pay bills or eat. It's my personal ambition with this project at the salon to help alleviate some of that. And, hey, anybody listening in Santa Fe that wants to come into the salon and bring some food, please do.
Whether or not they're getting a haircut.
Whether or not, absolutely, no. We have people stop by all the time bringing things in when they're not, when they don't have an appointment. If people wanted to stop in and just talk about how easy it is to set this up, there's nothing to it. I would invite any business to mm-hmm. participate in some way in an ongoing effort to improve people's life experience. It's not that hard.
Well, you need a corner in which to pile up your food.
We do, actually. We move the food.
And not much else, I guess?
Well, we move the food. We have a different display fixtures in the salon, and we do a big presentation for the food that comes in because obviously the shelf or the armoire or the whatever mm-hmm. we've picked for that time starts out empty, but then after a week, it's an amazing visual. And then the food starts to spread out in stacks on the floor or in boxes up against the wall. And people are really impressed. And I think it also is affirmation for the people that participate. Look at what I'm a part of. And it's a very powerful visual reference.
Yeah, it is. And every time I come in, every few weeks, I have an appointment of some kind. And it's amazing to see how it's grown in the interim.
Melinda Joy Pattison is Executive Director of the Food Bank of Eastern New Mexico, which once again is on the web at fbenm.org. Christopher Willett is the owner of the salon When the Sun Reaches My Sister. Desiree Lagerman is the salon director. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Pleasure.